The reading today is Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 12, which is on page 991. So Matthew 23, reading from the first verse. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted."
Thanks for that, Zana. Do keep that open there, because we'll be looking at it as we go. And let me add my welcome to that of Richard's. My name's Phil, if we've not met. I'm assistant minister over at Church of the Green. Before we come to look at this word, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that your word is living. We thank you that it speaks to us today. We pray that we will hear you and we'll have our lives and hearts changed by what we hear from your word today. Amen. I wonder if you've ever put on a show. Putting on a show could mean a couple of things. Maybe it means literally putting on a production of something. A few of us might have done that. Or it could mean kind of bigging things up, making a show of something, trying to give a different impression of yourself. Anyone ever done that? Maybe a few more of us than putting on a production. But we're not alone if we've ever done that. We're in high esteem. Gordon Brown, former Prime Minister, once did something similar. He was caught putting on a show for the cameras. He had this press conference with a Labour supporter. And they laughed, and they smiled, and they joked. And generally, they were having quite a good time. And unfortunately, the video is not working. I don't know why. Oh, it is going. Oh, there we go. Good. And you'll see that they have a bit of a laugh. They have a bit of a joke. They shake hands. They're really getting on quite well. And then Gordon Brown got into the car with the microphone still on that the news had given him. And he was heard to say something along the lines of, "That was a disaster. Whose idea was it to put me with that woman? It's just ridiculous. She was this sort of bigoted woman. Just ridiculous." There you go. You can see it coming up there. So Gordon Brown only really had cared about how he came across, his image, the whole conversation, all that smiling, all that joking. It had all been for show. He looked like he was caring for this lady and the things she thought about, but really his heart was fixed on himself. In this passage, Jesus highlights a similar difference, the difference between looking religious and living for God. We follow immediately on in this passage from Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees that we heard about last week, where they were trying to trap him and test him. Their intent was evil. And then here in chapter 23, Jesus is going to launch into a scathing criticism of the religious leaders. These 12 verses that we've just had read are really an introduction to that criticism. And in this introduction, Jesus gives two main points, two instructions for the Christian believer, a choice of how we want to live. Jesus' followers are to avoid hypocrisy and embrace humility. Those are our two points today. Firstly, avoid hypocrisy, that is fixing our hearts on ourselves. Avoid hypocrisy. Now, the term Jesus often uses of the Pharisees is hypocrite. We're going to see that a lot next week, which comes from the Greek term for actor, someone who puts on a show, who wears a mask in front of their reality. That's what we see of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law here. The teachers are teaching God's good law. They occupy the respected position of the seat of Moses, a position of authority to teach that law. And if you have a look at verse 3, you'll see Jesus says, "Do obey what they tell you." The teaching, the passing on of God's law is to be adhered to. But the example of the Pharisees is not. Continue looking at verse 3. "They do not practice what they preach." Do not do what they do. They do not practice what they preach. In other words, they are hypocrites. You see, on top of God's law, they enforce their own extra laws that they expected others to follow. And they police these laws firmly. We've already seen Jesus have a few run-ins with the Pharisees throughout the gospel. They want to be seen as those who take the law so, so seriously, more seriously than anyone else. But if we jump back to chapter 15 of Matthew, Jesus tells them they care more about enforcing their own laws than God's laws. In other words, they made these laws feel like a heavy load to others and did nothing to lighten the load themselves. That's there in verse 4. They were not practicing what they preached. Instead, what they were practicing was self-love. Have a look at the beginning of verse 5. "Everything they do is done for men to see." Everything they do is done for men to see. They want to be seen doing all the right things. We can see that in the garments they wear, the phylacteries and the tassels. They were things that you would wear on your clothes as physical reminders of God's commandments. The idea was to have God's commandments on your arms, in between your eyes, so they were literally there to remind how to act and behave and who to love. It's a bit like, has anyone ever written "breathe" or something like that before a big presentation, and you look at it and you go, you know, that kind of physical reminder that helps our behavior. But that wasn't why the Pharisees were doing it. They made their phylacteries wide and the tassels long, verse 5. The point is clear, isn't it? They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for others to see. Look how holy I am. Look how religious I am. Look how God's commandments are so present in my life. The irony, of course, is that it was all for show. They don't do it for a love of God, but for a love of themselves, a love of the status they receive. We can see that clearly through verses 6 and 7. They love the places of honor and the most important seats. They love to be greeted with respect and being called rabbi in the marketplace where all can see. What they preach is a love for God and his rule. What they practice is a love for themselves and the approval of men. They're putting on a show. They're hypocrites. Now, it's easy for us to be critical of the Pharisees because we read Jesus be critical of them, but we can be pretty good at putting on a show too, can't we? I mean, who doesn't love it when we get praised by someone? It makes us feel good, so we try and make it happen more and more often. We try and win other people's approval. Maybe we curate our social media pages to make sure the right photos go out, and we tell everyone about our achievements, not our failures, and we work hard for our good deeds to be seen. We're good at hiding the bad. We're good at putting on shows. We're good at wearing that mask. Maybe that starts to carry over into how we come to God, as our love for ourselves starts to overtake our love for him. It might be that we're doing the right things, or at least be seen to be. But the question is of our motivation. Where is our heart focused? In Matthew 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' focus is criticizing the ministry of the Pharisees because of their public religion. They're praying on the street corners loudly, their dramatic fasting, all so people could see how holy they were, that their hearts were on them. That attention was their reward in full. Whereas those who pray in private, behind a closed door, those who give to the needy in secret, those who fast without being obvious about it, they will receive their reward from God. Do you see that issue of the heart? It might encourage us to ask questions about our own faith and relationship with God. Unlike the Pharisees, we're unlikely to kind of carry huge leather-bound Bibles around, or maybe wear a giant cross necklace, or shout our prayers for all to hear. We might think we're miles away from the Pharisaical practice of faith. But where is our heart in our acts of worship and of service? We might present differently to the Pharisees, but our hearts can still focus on ourselves, can't they? Is our prayer life only in the public sphere at church or growth group or prayer meetings? Or does it happen in our own time, my time? If we do pray in public gathering, do we use big, clever, religious words so we seem more knowledgeable, to make me seem clever? Or do we want to talk to our Heavenly Father alongside our brothers and sisters? Would we talk the same way to our earthly Father? Or would we talk to him the same way we try and pray? When we serve in whatever it is we do, do we want to be so good at it so people are impressed by how well we serve? Oh, look at me. I can carry 10 chairs at once. Or I can make teas the fastest. Or when I clean, everything sparkles. I'm the best at cleaning. Do we do it for that reason, or do we do it in wholehearted service of God and for his people? Are we willing for our service to be a thankless task? Now, please understand, I'm guilty of all of the above. And maybe I'm the worst here, but I'm sure there's something in what I've just said that rings true for each of us. These discrepancies, they come from our heart being fixed inwards. If our heart is fixed on ourselves, we will do that which serves us. We'll do that which makes us feel good and feel puffed up. We'll do that which makes others see us how we want to be seen. We'll do that which attracts admiration and praise. We'll do things that win approval. We'll exalt ourselves. That's the opposite of what Jesus asks of us here. He tells us to do something else. He tells us to embrace humility and fix our hearts on God. Embrace humility, fixing our hearts on God. This is Jesus' instruction to the disciples. Unlike the Pharisees, who love those titles of honor, disciples are to refuse them. They're not to be called teacher or father or master. What's that all about? No teachers? First actors, now teachers. No one's going to have a career left by the time I'm finished. But of course, that's not what Jesus means. We know from Ephesians 4 and elsewhere that God gives us teachers, and teachers are good as our fathers and instructors. The point here is not on job titles, but on titles of authority. Titles of authority that should rightly be attributed to God and to Jesus. We see this in the reason for each command. Have a look with me at verses 8 onwards. But you're not to be called rabbi, for you only have one master, and you're all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. You have the definitive teacher, father, master. We are not to take those positions. We're not to seek to be the final authority in any of these ways, and we're not to look to anyone else to be either. Neither our faith nor our action should be dependent on men, for we already have all that we rely on. So we're not to be self-seeking in our authority, but submit to his. And that's going to link us back to that idea of looking religious. The Pharisees use these titles to exalt themselves as leaders and to reinforce their pride. They wanted people to listen to them, to what they had to say and what they told them to do. It made them superior to others. But that's not how it's to be for Jesus' followers. I don't know about you, but most of us, we love power. We love status. We love authority. In most places in our society, these are things to be coveted. With the rise of things like YouTube and TikTok, more and more people can find a slice of fame and following. And that might be a temptation for some of us. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who, if someone said, do you want to star in this Hollywood movie, I wouldn't say no. We all love that sort of idea. We don't like being on the bottom rung of the ladder. It goes all the way from school through our whole lives. And Jesus knows this. See verse 11? The greatest among you will be your servant. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because Jesus has been hitting that gong over and over again through this gospel. My kingdom will be made of servants. My kingdom will be made of servants. And he hits that gong again and again and again because we don't want to hear it. Being a servant is hard. It's sacrificial. It costs. We want to be in charge just for once. If we had the power, everything would be fine. It's that heart attitude coming out again. For Jesus' followers, they're not to jostle for power or human authority above one another, because they all have the same teacher in Jesus. They all have the same Father in God. They're not to be fixed on their own status, but they're to recognize that all power, all wisdom, and all authority in the world would leave us shy of Jesus's still. We're to look to him and him alone as our guide, our teacher, our strength, and our wisdom. It is costly, but we do all things under him. When our hearts and our eyes are fixed above ourselves, then we don't want to give ourselves as much praise and glory as we can manage, but we want to give it to him. The focus is not on ourselves, but on God. And if the focus is not on ourselves, then who would we put on a show for? We don't need to fake who we are or what we do or put on a different face because we're not seeking the approval of men. We're seeking the approval of God. He already knows how broken and sinful I am. Carrying 12 chairs isn't going to change that. We don't do it to change our image or to put on a show. We do it because we recognize whose example we're following. It is because of our brokenness and our sin that Jesus came. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We didn't deserve it, and it cost him his life, all for the glory of God. Will we be that same kind of servant? So ultimately, with verse 12, we're not left with a final point, but rather a final question. Who will we exalt? Who will we exalt? Most of us probably have heard that expression, actions speak louder than words. And the reality is what we do is going to reflect that which we believe far more powerfully than simply what we say. The book of James, toward the end of the Bible, says this: suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What we do matters because what we do shows who has control over our hearts, whether in private or in front of others. If I speak of my love for Jesus but show no sign of serving others, only pleasing myself, who would you think is the most important in my life, a person in my life? You'd think it's me, because that's who I'm exalting, me. All we've said so far matters, not because our actions and our good deeds will save us, but because they will demonstrate the reality of where our heart is fixed, who we're choosing to exalt. The Pharisees, despite the religiosity of their actions, were exalting themselves. What about us? At the end of the passage, Jesus gives a choice, the outcome of a life of servant-heartedness. Have a look at verse 12, what he says. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus says, you want to exalt yourself? Well, fine. You want to put yourself in positions of honor and do everything to win the praise of others? Fine. But that's it. At some point, this life will be over, and with it, the exaltation you receive. In fact, the exaltation will be replaced with humbling. You spend your life trying to big yourself up, only to be shown to be very small next to God. The power and glory of God will shine far brighter than any praise we gave ourselves, and we will see the one who should have received that honor and glory, the one worthy of all praise. And the reverse will be true for those who humble themselves for the sake of God. They will be the ones who are exalted. They will hear God say things like, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. That's what Jesus tells us in Matthew 25. We can look again to the example of Jesus to see the truth of this. Jesus was not exalted in his earthly life. In fact, he died brutally on a cross for your sin and mine, not facing his own punishment, but ours in our place. He was beaten, whipped, pierced, abandoned, denied, and killed before being wrapped up in a tomb. But that's not where he stayed. That tomb is empty, and Jesus is reigning today at the right hand of God in heaven, where he ascended to after he rose from the dead. Acts 2, Acts 5, and Philippians 2 all describe this as Jesus' exaltation. That is the promise for all of those who live looking to God as their Father and Jesus as their teacher. They too will be exalted. They too will be raised. They will see the power and glory of God, and rather than feel small, they will rejoice in it because they finally see it face to face, having only understood glimpses of it before. So the choice in all we do is, who will we exalt, ourselves or God? Where will we fix our hearts? Maybe a great deal doesn't change externally. Maybe I still make the teas quickly or carry lots of chairs. But what's inside, who I am praising in my heart, that's where our exaltation comes from, first and foremost. And it will flow out into all we do and say. So that's the question we're finishing with today. Who will we exalt? Let me pray for us as we finish. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. We thank you for this teaching. We thank you for this question. Who will we exalt? We ask, Lord, that you would help us to remember your sacrifice for us, the way you have loved us, the way you died for us. And we ask that you'll help us to live servant-hearted lives, that we would exalt you with our actions and what we do, and not look to exalt ourselves, that we would avoid that hypocrisy. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.